Good morning, and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. Pastor Alan Miller is chosen for a sermon topic, The Touch of Faith, based on Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. The radio broadcast this morning is in celebration of Gary and Mary Anderson's 53rd wedding anniversary, July 3rd. We thank Gary and Mary for sponsoring our broadcast this morning by sharing the blessings of God's love with our listeners. Mr. Jim Duncan is at the organ this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. And welcome to another Lord's Day service. It is great to be with all of you as we worship our great God together. It is He who has brought us here to be united as one people, raising our voice as one people in the worship of God. He is good and worthy of all praise. And in light of His goodness, let us sing our first hymn together, number 782. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart, and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Beloved in the Lord, upon your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is the shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, during his earthly ministry, your Son, Jesus, healed the sick and raised the dead. By the healing medicine of the Word and sacraments, pour into our hearts such love toward you that we may live eternally. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in the severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 5th chapter. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garment, I will be made well." And immediately, the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any farther?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
The story of Jesus healing the woman of blood is a familiar one. And yet we do well to remember that this story is sandwiched right in the middle of a bigger story. Because before the woman comes on the scene, verse 21 first introduces us to a man named Jairus. And he implores Jesus to come and heal his daughter. The daughter, she's lying sick at home. Jairus, he's heard about this miracle worker named Jesus, and so he implores him to come and lay his hands upon her. It's only after they start making their way, though, that we get this other incident. This woman with the discharge of blood. Mark is very intentionally pairing these two stories together, meaning that we shouldn't look at one without also looking at the other. These two people and their needs, their situations, they are all intentionally being contrasted to one another. They're being placed side by side so that you and I would begin to compare them. And when we do so, dear friends, I believe that what we find is a God who shows himself to be so merciful and kind, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and a God who shows no partiality. If we first look at what Jairus and this woman had in common, it's an embarrassingly short list. The only thing they seem to share is some desperate need for Jesus to bring healing. And their faith, that all they need is for Jesus to just touch them, believing that a simple touch would be sufficient for everything that they need. Come and lay your hands upon my daughter, Jairus said. That is, touch her and she will be made well. The woman, she says the same thing to herself. If I but touch his garments, I will be made well. But apart from that, they have virtually nothing else in common. Jairus is a leader, a religious ruler. He's a man of reputation and distinction. Jairus would have been one honored by the masses. He is well off and he seems to have no reservations to just go straight to Jesus and meet him face to face to make his requests known. For if anyone was worthy of receiving a miracle, Jairus would have thought surely he would have been the one. By contrast, though, notice how the woman doesn't even have a name. She's from the total opposite end of the spectrum. If Jairus had economic, social, and religious clout, this woman had none of it. Even more than that, though, because of her condition, she was religiously unclean. She would have been treated as was the lepers of that day, utterly cast out from society. She's separated from the community, unfit to go into the temple, and unlike Jairus, she doesn't have any money. She spent it all on cures, if you will, for her disease. Poor woman was she. Now, I hate to think about what so-called treatments must have been in those days that she subjected herself to. Now, looking at historical medical practices, it often leaves you unsettled, if not even queasy. You read about the things that they passed off as medicine in those days with leechings and cuttings and cauterizing and puncturing. This woman has suffered immensely. And the only thing she got out of it, verse 26 says, was empty pockets and a worsened condition. Unlike Jairus, she doesn't even have a daughter. Physically, she can't have children, nor was marriage even feasible for one who is deemed so unclean and defiled. But what seems to set her apart the most was how she felt herself to be a nobody. Instead of meeting Jesus face to face, she sneaks up to him, goes to him from behind, hoping to grab at that cure and then just sneak off again unnoticed. But I love it, dear friends, how Jesus calls her out. Now, understandably, the question could be asked, why? Why would he do that? Hasn't she suffered enough public embarrassment already? Couldn't Jesus just have let her go with a smile and a wink? But I would argue, dear friends, that this singling out was the greatest thing that he could do for her. He doesn't allow her to just slip on by anonymously. He doesn't let this nobody come and go unnoticed. Though she's a nobody to society, see how to God, though, she is somebody. Somebody has touched me, Jesus says. He forces the issue and calls her out, so that when she's healed, she's left with an even greater blessing than what she bargained for, knowing that the one who healed her notices and knows even her. You can almost hear Jesus say, I didn't come just for the Jairuses. I'm not just the God of the high and mighty. But no, I am the God of the widowed and orphaned, the God of the humbled and downcast, the God of the despised and rejected. Jesus gives no special treatment to Jairus because of his influence and class. Nor does he let the woman come and go because he had more pressing issues to attend to. But he cares personally for this no-named woman living in obscurity. She's a person who God deems totally worth loving and visiting with all of his grace, taking the time to give her that personal message that she needed. Dear friends, this is our God. Indeed, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The gospel rings out, whosoever believes. These, scripture says, have their names written upon the palms of God's hands. All stand on equal ground when we come before the cross. No one is of greater or lesser importance before God when we bow our knees before him. Before him who alone gives us all life, breath, and everything that we need for body and soul. As Paul says, in Christ Jesus there is no Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's so wonderful to see how God, going to the lowly and going to the nobodies, for it's to these that he gives the promise, where I am going, you shall be also. I am ascending to my Father, he continues. But behold, I am coming again to bring you to where I am. And when he does that, dear friends, the Bible says that he will set honor and glory upon his people, and that we shall sit with him upon thrones in heavenly places. He bestows glory upon these nobodies and upon the humbled. He makes them rather shine like the sun. These nobodies on earth, Jesus will declare them before the Father in heaven. Behold that man, and behold that woman, whom I have purchased with my own blood. Those who find themselves lonely, those who deem themselves insignificant or forgotten or neglected, those who are shut-ins and homebound, the many of those who think that no one will notice when they're absent, these are those who shall outshine even the angels in heaven. Never mind who we are or what we have done. The only pressing matter here is, have you gotten hold of Christ? It is the Lord and our connection with him that bestows all of these blessings, the life, the healing, and dignity. Well, truly, dear friends, this is the greater gift that woman received that day, the assurance that God both notices and loves her, bestowing dignity and honor. But at the same time, though, I do want to look briefly at the actual healing that she received. Because while God never promises that he's going to physically heal us also in our life, there still is a lot that we can learn from this story. Because what God does promise to do is the spiritual counterpart, if you will. When you read the Bible and when you come across all of those miracles that Jesus did among man, these are to be for us as if living parables. For while it delighted Jesus to do good to the hurting, ultimately, though, these miracles are recorded for us in order to show us what God is doing spiritually, doing to our souls behind the scenes. While we haven't seen many men and women getting healed of all manner of diseases today supernaturally, we can praise God, though, that we have seen him doing even a greater work among us. That is granting spiritual healing. And such is the healing that we ultimately need. Jairus' daughter, she would eventually die again. So too, this woman with the issue of blood, she would certainly go on to have other difficulties. The true blessing that was given them was when Jesus did that greater and more necessary work. When he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you," the Greek reads. "Your faith has saved you," Jesus says, "go in peace." Beloved, our God has not stopped doing his miraculous healings. "Behold, I am with you always," he says, "even unto the ends of the age." And don't think for a moment that he is with us inactively or in some passive manner, but he is here now, the same yesterday, today, and forever, still working the same miracles as those done of old. Not necessarily, again, to men's bodies, but healing where the healing is most desperately needed, right there in our souls. He is doing the spiritual counterpart of all of those miracles we saw him doing on earth. He's bringing healing to those who are undone by sin. He's stopping the death and the flow of blood, if you will, granting life to our spirits. He's still doing miracles, bringing sight to the spiritually blind, healing those who have the spot of leprosy upon their very heart and soul, and even raising those who are spiritually dead in their trespasses and sins. The miracles that Jesus did then are but a gracious window through which we can see what he is doing today in that unseen realm. Praise be to God that He brings eternal life to bear for each of us today. He is healing far more often and far more deeply than He ever did during His earthly ministry. For today, He is saving the multitudes from eternal death and hell. And all it takes, dear friends, is a touch. Again, the woman of blood was healed by a touch. And so was Jairus' daughter, raised with a touch. It's through a touch, through a connection with Christ Jesus, that all of these blessings of life and health and salvation are bestowed upon His people. Through the touch of the waters of baptism, He calls us into His family. By the touch of our eating and drinking of His body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Through these, we encounter the great physician, and He comes with healing in His wings. He comes bestowing those gifts that He won for us upon the cross. His stripes, His scourgings, those are the wounds that heal us. His blood now, we can picture as that healing balm, that when it is applied to the soul is healed of all maladies. Just like the blood of the Passover lamb, when it was applied to the doorposts of the houses. Well, when the blood of the lamb is applied to our soul, so too does that angel of death pass over us. Here lies the medicine for our souls, flowing generously from Mount Calvary. Incline your ear and hear, and come, the Bible says, hear, and your soul shall live. Look unto the Savior, and you shall be saved. And with those hands of faith, dear friends, let us reach hold and grab hold of Christ, saying, my Lord and my God. Right then, the touch is made, and Jesus gives everlasting life. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Please stand and join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise You this morning, for You have had mercy upon us. And you look down upon us this morning with a heart full of compassion. And from your throne, you do take an interest in our lives, always observing, providing, and caring for us every moment of the day. We thank you that you have bestowed upon us honor, value, and purpose. And as you have put such dignity upon us, we ask that you would lead us to live rightly, to live righteously and holy lives. Lead us to live in holiness and purity. And Lord, again, lead us to put away sin and to cling to that which is good and right, giving us the heart that loves goodness and shuns evil. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And gracious God, we further praise you in knowing that you have not abandoned us, but that you have sent your Son to visit and save and to reveal your heart to us. We ask that you would comfort us in knowing that he is and you are still always with us. Comfort us with that promise that you are always the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that Jesus is now healing souls and bringing life to bear. Visit us anew with your healing touch. Apply your truth and your Holy Spirit to settle on our hearts and minds, and give us that faith that looks and clings to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And merciful Father, as you show no partiality, and as you welcome all, communing with people from all walks of life, lead us also to be generous to others. Lead us to be hospitable, giving and forgiving to those who are in our midst. Give us a heart towards our neighbors, co-workers, and all others in our midst. Lead us to open the hand of generosity to the needy, and conform us into the image of your Son. So move in us to love our enemies and our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord of the nations, we thank you for the countless blessings you have given us through this great nation. We thank you for all the benefits that you have given us as citizens in America, prosperity, safety, education, peace, and freedom. We thank you for those who have made this country what it is. Lead us to take advantage of the blessings that you have entrusted to us. Let us use them to serve you and one another with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Furthermore, for all military personnel, protect and comfort them. Be also with their families and receive our hearts and our thanksgivings. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, great physician, we lift before you those who are needing healing of body and soul this morning. For those whose sufferings are hidden, for those who are hurting, and for those who are grieving, we ask that you would grant peace, joy, and life. According to your gracious will, grant the physical healing and relief that we need. Lord, we especially lift before you the family and loved ones of Loretta Heerman. She entered into glory last night. We do commend her into your care and rejoice in your promises that you will keep her from the evil one. Be with her family as they mourn, and give to all of us that reminder that you are the God of the living. And Lord, be with all those on our hearts and minds this morning. Let your creatures praise you for your mercies, and strengthen us for the task that you have put before us to glorify you with our bodies. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our service continues with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right so to do. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. May be seated for departing hymn 922.